I want to, I know we're starting from the beginning, but I don't want to double up on things that you're, well, let me ask you this question. Is there any part of what we discussed in our those 3 weeks, or three meetings we spent together, that you've implemented or completed? I don't want to replow the same field.
No, not really. And also, just so you know, Rob, Tricia's here, and Tricia joined us October 2nd or 3rd.
Okay.
And so she was brand new, and that was one of the reasons that, and being 9 months removed from it all, we wanted to just start from the beginning. And so it'll we may go faster through a couple sections or numbers or whatever and catch on quicker, but I think it was just helpful for us to start back at the beginning, we thought.
I think it makes sense. I think this is the deal we ought to have. If I get into something and you've already heard it and you feel the team's got it under control, you're not going to hurt my feelings by saying we've got that one. Let's move on to the next thing. Deal?
No problem.
Okay.
And Rob, just a little bit background on Tricia. Like I said, she joined us the very beginning of October, but Tricia has 16 years experience in the industry, and so we gave ourselves 3 months to have her up to speed, and within like 2 weeks, she was up to speed. So it took us 5 months to find Tricia, but it was a great hire, and we have an unbelievable team, and we're ready to go this year.
All right, just to make sure, who was the gentleman that left, that moved to a different town?
Andrew.
Okay, so Peter's still there?
Peter's still here, 10 years and kicking.
And Patty.
And
yes.
Patty's here. And just, you know, Patty's role is Patty's full-time now. She does half-time with us, and then half-time she runs the branch operations.
That's a full plate.
Yes, it is.
And what about
well, the branch is just us today.
What about Brian?
Brian was replaced. Andrew replaced Brian, and Tricia replaced Andrew.
Well, I saw Brian on your website, by the way. So
yeah, that's a problem.
Doesn't take any talent to identify problems. It's fixing them, right?
You got that right.
All right, let's talk about what we want to accomplish.
Okay.
We have three major goals. Number one, bring balance to your life. Mike's experience in this business is it will take every minute you allow it to have. Advisors are more effective when they have the time to recharge the batteries. So we want to bring balance to your life. I just talked with a young man with Morgan Stanley down in Florida, who's done everything correctly. Last year he was up 20%, and he says now I have time to do other things. I mean, it's just a picture perfect example of what we try to do. So number one, bring balance to your life. The second thing is to increase the focus on your practice. You all are running a big, I think you gave me $266 million in assets.
Yep.
Advisors, sometimes they don't focus on how big the practice is, and they don't treat it as a business. We want you to manage this money and run it like a business. Business people on a regular basis take a step back, see what's working, see what isn't, and make the adjustments. That's the way we want you to run this already effective practice. And then the third thing is to significantly grow your business. You've got a great team. Your clients and centers of influence can lead you to a lot more business. So those are the three major goals: balance to your life, increase the focus on your practice, run it like a business, and number three, significantly grow it. And we've got, I hope this sounds confident, not arrogant, we've got a really good track record of helping people get those things done. Here's what it's going to look like. The first 4 weeks are going to be spent on the segmentation of your practice. That's getting it down to its core. Again, you've got the number I got was, where is it? Households around 266. Still
yep.
a little bit of work to get done there. Here's why.
Yep.
I want you to get down to your core for a couple of reasons. Number one, I want it to be part of your brand. I want you to be able to look at a prospective client and say, we have a concierge practice for a limited number of people. So it's part of your branding. But the main reason is that the only way that you can deliver a superior level of service is you've got to have it's got to be for a limited number of people. That doesn't mean you don't take on the new people who fit your ideal client model, but you can't do it for too many people. Advisors get a new relationship. With all the best of intentions, promise things, and then the weight of the practice just keeps it from happening. So our task in the first 4 weeks, we really got four tasks. Number one, bring your practice down to its core. Number two is to establish a minimum. Again, why do you have a minimum? Because you have to control the number of people in your practice. Number three is develop your ideal client model. That's made up of your minimum and the soft issues. And you all were really good when we first talked about being able to describe your ideal client. And the last thing I want to do is hit the reset button on your practice. We want you to be able to call your clients, tell them what you're doing, why you're doing it. They love hearing it. The clients love to know that you've reduced the size of the practice and that you're going to be able to spend more time with them. They love it. Sometimes they bring in new money. Sometimes they bring in referrals in those conversations. So that's what we're looking at in the first four weeks. The next four are going to be used to get the practice organized in a repeatable way. That really gets down to a folder system and a scheduling tool that we will go over in detail in week four or week five. And then the last four weeks are going to be spent on building acquisition strategies. After your practice is down to its core and it's organized, you have the time and the increased confidence to grow your practice. And when I say increased confidence, that doesn't mean you're starting with no confidence. It's just when an FA promises things, monthly scheduled calls, rapid response to problems, multi-generational planning, they know they can deliver it because there's a structure and the practice is down to its core. Any questions on that? All right.
No,
two things. Go ahead. Somebody say something?
No, go ahead. We all agree.
Okay. You have a supernova guide. You were sent an updated a PDF yesterday. I sent an email, I think, to you, Howard, saying don't keep one copy of the old guide. Because there's some things that I think are better in the old guide than the new guide, and we'll spend a little bit of time in the old guide. So that's where you're going to find your homework assignments. At the end of I'm referring to the new guide, on page 20, you're going to find the homework for next week. I'll go over that before we get off the phone today. The other thing is after every weekly call, you receive a link to a video that will be extremely helpful as you prepare for the next week. In that same email will be a link to the recording of this call. Those are the bookkeeping things. Now, I just want to just high spot a couple of the things you gave me last time as far as on your profile, and just tell me if there are any changes. Assets, you've updated. You said production was around 1.8 for 2016. Am I right?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Here's how you describe your ideal client. Friendly, follow our advice, kind and respectful to the staff. They need you all to be a quarterback. They trust us, need help beyond investments, and they're willing to learn. That was what you gave me first of last year. Would you add anything to that?
Sam, one more time? I don't think so.
Okay. Let me go through it. Friendly, follow our advice, respectful to staff, need us to be the quarterback, trust us, need help beyond investments, and they're willing to learn.
Well, that's the characteristics, but I guess since we've learned a little bit, I guess the one thing we would add, you know, is meet our account minimums with the caveat that we've had before, you know, that we discussed. If it's important to that person, you know, there's the exception rule.
The very little exception rule.
So I think the characteristics are all correct. I think we should just add, you know, since we learned it, you know, and didn't have it at the beginning, that the account, you know, they need to meet our account minimums as a general rule.
Okay. Well, okay. Now, that's the next question. What is your minimum?
I don't have my notes, but wasn't it like 500 we decided last time was the number?
Let's see here. Well, I've got a stack here that it's going to take me a second to go through. I've got that sounds right, but what's more important is what do you think your minimum is today?
Yeah.
What's the answer?
What's the minimum today?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, of managed of that 266, we have people in there that are $1,000.
No, this is applied. I didn't explain it well. This is applied to new business.
Okay. So for new business for 2016, what was the minimum?
For today, what if you got a call from a CPA and said, I'd like to refer somebody to you. I think you'd like them. But before I talk to them, tell me what your minimum relationship size is.
I would tell them $500,000.
Okay. All right. So if somebody had $450,000, you'd take it. You wouldn't take it.
Correct.
Okay. Here's the way I want you to describe your minimum. Your minimum is $500,000 unless there are extenuating circumstances.
Right.
Now, and I probably use these exact words with you, an extenuating circumstance isn't I've had a slow month and I'm going to bring this person on. An extenuating circumstance is they've got $50,000 right now, but they're getting a $3 million inheritance in March, and it's coming to you. You're going to take
right.
that $50,000 relationship. So my minimum is $500,000 unless there are extenuating circumstances. Now,
I like that short and sweet.
Yeah. I want you to be – some FAs are reluctant to have a minimum because they think that it makes them look arrogant or whatever. I want you to be proud of having a minimum. So you get a call from a CPA who's given you referrals in the past, and he wants to give you a $200,000 let's get deeper than that. You call the CPA and talk to him about the refinements to your practice, and you say, we are establishing a $500,000 minimum for new business. And he says, wait a minute, what are you guys, hot stuff now? You've taken smaller relationships in the past. I would really want to have that conversation, and here's how I would answer it. This is a change. Let me tell you why we've instituted a minimum. We have to control the number of people in our practice. We can never, and you might want to jot this phrase down, we can never allow the growth of our practice to compromise the service we give to our existing clients. Now, that
one more time, Rob.
Say it again.
Repeat that, please.
We can never let the growth of our practice compromise the service we give to our existing clients. And again, this gets into
hard to rebut.
Well, if somebody wants to argue with that, I mean, if it's
right.
I don't know much for them.
Right. We talk about service all day long, whether it's at a restaurant or a hotel or anywhere you are, a grocery store or department store. It's all about service. And, you know, that's the expectation we have, and that's what we're going to deliver.
Yeah, and you can deliver it only
right.
if you have a concierge practice for a limited number. You can only deliver the concierge side if you have. You can't deliver it if you have too many people. I don't know if you know this or not, but a hotel never wants to be 100% full. If it's 100% full, the checkout's backed up, you can't get to the bellman, you can't get him to get your – they want to keep it at like 90%. And you know how they keep it at 90%? They raise prices until they get down to 90%.
Gotcha. I didn't know that.
That's what you're doing. I know that because of a limited partnership we did way back when, and I think it was on the Plaza Hotel. All right. So your ideal client is made up of the soft issues, which you say haven't changed, plus your absolute minimum. Now, I ask you to bring that list. Do you have that list in front of you, the production?
Yeah.
You don't have the asset list.
Correct.
Okay. Now, here's – I want you, when you can get that – what would you guess? And then I want you to go back and get the real number when you can get the – when you get that report. What would you guess is the average assets that your top 10 clients have? Just guess for the purpose of this exercise.
I would say, because I know number 10 is around 3 million and number 1 is like 17 million, so maybe 5.
Okay, let's use 5 and then you can go back and get the numbers. You have two minimums. You have your absolute minimum and then you have your target minimum. Your target minimum is the average of your top. I said top 10. I meant top 20 clients. Your average 20 is probably going to be around 3. Would be my guess. So here's that's really what you're shooting for. A $500,000 client. And folks, that to me seems a little small. And we'll talk about that in a second. But you know brings in a $500,000 relationship, I don't think anybody's going to have a party that day. If
right.
somebody brings in a $3 million relationship, that's going to get everybody's attention.
Yep.
So here's how all this fits together. You're talking about your practice to a prospective client, and you say my absolute minimum is $500,000 unless there are extenuating circumstances. Having said that, it's important that you know that a disproportionate share of our practice is driven by people with $3 million and higher. Now, why do you want to have that conversation? Because if you're sitting in front of someone who has $10 million, you're talking about a $500,000 relationship. I don't want you to look like small potatoes.
Okay, Rob, repeat the sentence, please. A disproportionate...
Our absolute minimum is $500,000 unless there are
right.
extenuating circumstances.
Right.
Having said that, it's important that you understand that a disproportionate share of our business, our practice, excuse me.
Yeah.
Is driven by people who have $3 million and more. And that's true. If you look at your top 20 clients, they produce a whole lot more than 20% of your business. Correct?
Right. Yeah. Top 20 produces 35%.
That's a disproportionate share. If you look at your top 10, that would be even a bigger disproportionate share. So I want you, you've got to have, in our opinion, you have to have a minimum. You don't take everybody. You do it because you have to control the number of people in your practice. We have to control the number of people in our practice because we never want to let the service we're giving to our guidance we're giving to our existing clients be compromised by our growth. We never want to let the growth of our practice compromise the guidance we're giving to our existing clients. Our absolute minimum is $500,000 unless there are extenuating circumstances. Having said that, it's important that you know that a disproportionate share of our business is driven by clients, by families, however you all describe it, who have $3 million or more. I think that's a nice, concise way to talk about your practice and send a message. I don't take everybody, not because I'm arrogant, because if you become part of my practice, I don't want to bring in somebody else who's going to hurt what we've promised to you.
That's good.
Does that all fit together?
Yeah, that sounds great.
Okay, now as I give you that script, if you want to massage some of the words, it's okay. The first time I gave it to you, I said it's important you know that our business, that a disproportionate share of our business, I like the word practice better. So if you've got little words
yep.
that fit how you speak, then go ahead and use them. I asked you about a niche last time. Here's what you told me. You've got 6 radiologists in one practice. Most of the, you said Dannon, small business owners, and a few, you said 2 or 3 Procter & Gamble people. Can you think of any other niches in your practice?
Not really.
All right. You told me also you didn't have a lot of retirees. Is that still the case?
Real estate developers.
We have a lot of those, you think? Peter came up with maybe real estate developers, which is an interesting niche.
It is.
Yeah, maybe. As far as retirees, no, not necessarily retirees, but, you know, probably typical of a practice, we've had some deaths. And so we have, you know, a fair number of estates, and we've done a decent job of retaining some. I know the industry average is less than, like, 20% of retaining to the next generation, so
we've got attorneys, so
we've done well.
That is a big number. I went to this has been going back 4 or 5 years ago. I went to a UBS meeting, and they said it was, like, 5% retained to the next generation.
Yeah.
All right. Part of that's because it gets split 5 different ways instead of being in one set of hands. All right.
Right.
Here's what you told me is your motivation to use Supernova. You want to be more proactive, and you want to give great you want to give great service. And you said you had not branded your service model. Would you add anything to that?
For me personally, those are the things that keep me up at night.
All right, keep you up at night because it scares you or you aren't delivering it?
Because it scares me we won't be able to continue at the pace we do. I mean, Tricia is, won't speak for her, but I think she's surprised at how busy we are. And, you know, we pride ourselves on giving a high level of service, and it's hard. And so what concerns me is about I don't want to lose a client for lack of touch. And so as we add people and if we're not – systematizing and being proactive and, you know, being efficient, then I worry that, you know, we added, I think, 8 new households last year. I mean, you continue to do that, but you don't get any more efficient, then things are going to fall by the wayside.
You're absolutely right. How those 8 new households from last year, what do you think the average size was there?
Not here. I'll get that for you for next week. Average size of 8. Have it somewhere.
What's your gut feeling?
Probably just shy of 1 million.
Okay. All right.
Probably 800.
How do you feel about that number?
Our goal is to have 10 to 15 new households a year. Was the number we came up with a couple years ago. And so it was on the lower side, and it was on the lower asset side. You know, Scott and I try to raise from new money from either existing clients or new clients $8 million each, and we raised $12 million. So we're, you know, 16 was the goal for the two of us. We're a little bit behind, but the year before we were 21. So some years are better than others.
Okay. Let me go back to the to your niche clients and just ask a question. And I don't I just need your gut feeling. Do you get any referrals from your radiologists?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Last year,
I don't think so.
Okay, did you get
I think one of our top five clients referred a new top five client in. That was the idea that the like provides like. Our number nine referred in our number six client as of now. That was
wow.
A big win.
That is a big
yeah.
win. Where had that person been before?
It was a nasty divorce situation, and she was at UBS.
All right. Solicited or unsolicited?
Completely unsolicited. It was all referral.
They all count. The point.
Yeah.
Let me go through this and come back to my point. Do you get any referrals from Dannon? Your Dannon folks?
I don't think so. I'll go back and get the eight.
What about your small business owners?
They had to come from somewhere, so somebody had to be yes. I'm not sure which.
Well, what about your – do you get any referrals from the P&G people?
I don't think so.
Do you get any referrals from the real estate developers?
Yeah. You got more money from
not more money. Could be a new household.
A new household now, but more
yeah.
money, yeah.
Okay, what point am I trying to make?
No, we didn't get referrals from the people that are the niches.
Yeah, and one of the things we talk about later on is it how to expand a niche.
Right.
Howard, how would you say that you are in starting referral conversations? Is that something you do consistently?
No, not at all.
Scott, how would you answer that question?
With existing clients, you know, I would say occasionally, not on a regular basis, occasionally.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Here's the point I'm making here. You guys, you all got a great practice. You've got, if I looked at your top 20 clients, you'd probably look at them and say, they all like me. They all trust you or they would leave. If you
For sure.
are consistent in starting referral conversations, and I'm way ahead of myself here, but it's a good point to make here, is if you will consistently be on the lookout for the ways to start referral conversations, you will get a lot more referrals. Your clients, your best clients like you. They want to help you. They just got to be given the opportunity. Advisors make up the darndest reasons they don't ask for referrals or referral conversations. None of them really make sense to me. Not saying it's easy to do. I'm just saying it's a habit I want you to get into. If your goal, I think with a practice your size, that adding 8 new clients. You said 10. Well, you want to add 10 to 15 clients this year. Nothing's easy in this business, or you wouldn't get paid so well. But you're gonna bring in more relationships than 10 to 15 would be my strong suggestion. Okay,
that'd be good.
Now, all right. I want you to get out. We got to. You told me that as we look at number of households per advisor, the divisor for your team is 2. Is that still the case?
Correct.
All right. So that means at a maximum, you could have 200 households. Now, somebody brought, I'm at the bottom of the hour. You all got a few more minutes?
Yes.
Okay. Somebody a minute ago brought up the term butler. A butler is someone who, I've tried to get Rob to change the name. He said that he's not going to do it. He likes the term. I don't like, nobody understands what a butler is. You don't ever use the term butler with a client. A butler is somebody you have to keep.
Right.
If your number one client has an assistant and the assistant has $25,000, you're not going to fire your best client's assistant.
Right.
You've got a great client who has an adult child, you're not going to fire them. So butlers don't count in the number. So in that 266 households you have, there are some people that you can't that are butlers. Would you agree?
Correct.
All right. Probably not going to fire your father-in-law, your mother-in-law, whatever. So
gonna pass anyway.
I'm just going to keep moving. So our goal here is to get down to a maximum of 200 households. That means if let's say you have 20 butlers. I'm just making it up. That gets you down to 246. That means you would have to jettison 46 people. Now, you don't have to do it overnight, but going back to the way we described our minimum and why we have a concierge practice for a limited number of people, if you want to be able to brand your service model and know you can deliver it, there's no way you can do it with 246 people.
Right.
Now, I've said that. I really think that you all need, it would be important for you all to get under 100 per. If you have 100, that's 5 calls a day. That's a pretty full day. Now, you're talking to more than 5 people a day now. But if you got down to 80, and I'm just making this point using this math, that means 4 a day. So that means you could have 4 days of 5 and 1 day of nothing. If you got down to 60, you see where I'm going. The fewer clients that you have responsibility for, the more time you have to grow and have a little more balance in your life. So let's look at that sheet, Howard, you've got of the number of by production.
Yeah.
Let's in the interest of time, let's go to the bottom of the list. What's the last number you see on there?
Zero.
Okay, who is that person? Who is that person?
It's a relative.
Okay. So is it somebody you need to keep? I mean, if they've got assets but no business.
Right, correct.
Okay. Are they a butler?
Yes.
Okay. Go up to how many do you have a lot of zeros? What's the top zero? What's a zero that's not a butler? Who is it?
I'm looking. So he's related. That Jamie Miller's becoming managed. Kid. The problem is they all have an excuse. They're all related to somebody.
What's the question? What's going on?
Is he going up the count? Find an account that's not a butler.
That's
on there that shouldn't be there.
Ben Annenberg.
You don't think she's her butler?
No.
You don't have to keep it as a family? Because we have her brother and mother.
Kapoor.
Hmm?
Kapoor.
Who's Kapoor?
Kapoor, that's
Katie.
Yeah.
Who's she related to?
Who's Jay Marshall's? That's related to the Copers. It's hard. That's hard when it's been, it's an all-referral practice for all these years. We've never done seminars or anything like that. So they all have an excuse for being here.
Okay.
All related.
Yeah, this is like 99% of the business is referral based since I've been here.
All of it.
Yeah.
We've never taken
never
taken a call.
Well, no, not a call, but you talk to people that you've known through your.
It's a referral.
It's a referral?
Well, yeah.
But I've never cold called anybody.
Here's
never
one. I got William Ollinger, number 264.
Okay.
$500 worth of commission. Non-managed account.
Well, $500 of business after taxes, after expenses, doesn't leave you with much.
It's 0.02% of the revenue.
Correct.
Yeah. Well, if you got...
Yeah, I mean, that account can certainly be shed.
But here's...
There's no relationship, there's no managed account. That's an account that certainly could easily be shed. I mean, he's got two accounts.
Well, does everybody buy into the fact that you can't offer a premium a concierge service with too many people?
Absolutely.
Well, you can't answer for everybody.
Okay.
So,
I answer for myself.
If that's the case, then it doesn't leave much of an alternative other than shedding some of these relationships.
Correct.
Not talking about bad people. I mean, there's no correlation between somebody's net worth and their value as a human.
That's right.
You're making business decisions.
Well, and also I believe everybody deserves an advisor. It's just we can't be the advisor for everybody.
Yep. As Rob Knapp says, everybody deserves to be in somebody's A book.
Right.
So, I mean, if we talked early on about one of the goals of Supernova, running your practice like a business. As you look there, does anybody jump out? Nobody knows who they are.
We need to go through it. There's names in there.
Yeah.
What we probably need to do is put like a. What we called last time, like a super household, if it's related to somebody, if it's related to the Dana, it's related to a P&G, it's related to the radiologist, so at least we can, find the outliers.
Well, here's...
Wouldn't be that hard.
Let me give you just some, and I gave you this last time, some thoughts on things that may help you to reduce your number of clients. Do you see people on there that if they transferred out, you wouldn't care?
Absolutely.
All right. And then that person deserves to be examined whether they should be part of your practice. If you didn't have to worry about hurting someone's feelings, do you see some people that you could jettison? The answer to that is yes.
For sure.
So just, look at it that way. Here's a thought process, and I'm going to make a point by using ridiculous numbers. If you could get down to 100 households, and that would represent 95% of your business, would you make that trade?
Yeah.
So, the question gets to be, how much am I willing to walk away from in order to get my practice down to its core? And let's use this as part of the homework for next week. You've got that list there by production. How many? If you got down to how many people would it take to get to 70? How many people make up 50% of your business? And you might say, well, for my top 40 are 50% of my business. And then I want you to do it. How many does it take to get to 60%?
Yeah, we can do that.
What I want to get down to is the real number is if we got down to, again, I'm making it up, 175 people, and that represented 95% of our production, are we willing to walk away from 5% of our production, which in your case would be, you know, what, $150,000? Is that right? Whatever.
Yeah.
I'm willing to walk away from 5% of my production in order to get down to 175 households. I want to see what that
right.
I want to see what that number is.
Okay.
But we can
do that.
One thing that I know my experience tells me is that you all could get down to 200. Again, we're not counting butlers, and probably lower without a big financial cost.
Right.
And your bet would be, and again, let's say you get down to 175 and it's 95% of your business. It won't look that like that, but your bet is I can replace that 5% that I'm walking away from, and it's going to be a lot more, it's going to look a lot different as far as the type of client that I have. I'm going to have more people who meet my ideal client model. Do you get where I'm going?
Yeah, I like that. And I just like the idea of challenging Peter, Tricia, and Patty as far as, you know, a handful of clients they think don't fit the friendly model that we talked about before that are time-consuming and not necessarily nice because, you know, if we jettison a couple of those, the emotional and the time-consuming part, you know, those could be big wins.
Well, yeah, they could be. You've got something special to offer here. You know, this is, you're not Walmart. So,
right.
You know, if you've got people who are not polite, who when the phone rings and Scott, it's for you, and somebody says, "Hey, Scott, so and so's on the phone," and your face wrinkles. That's probably somebody you should consider. Now, I had this conversation with an FA once, and he says, "Well, Rob, size has a quality all of its own. I mean, if it's a $20 million relationship, common sense says you probably put up with a little bit more. But somebody who's not pleasant and doing $750 in gross a year, probably is someone who would best be served somewhere else."
Right.
You got it?
Got it.
All right. One other thing to look at is if you've got clients doing less than $1,000, what's y'all's payout?
50%.
All right. That's $400 in your pocket before taxes and expenses. You could have taken the time to, you know, people say, "Well, gosh, I'd have to give up 125,000 in PCs." And that's because they look at all that in one big ball. What it is, it's usually just small relationships who you don't enjoy and don't really mean anything as individuals, but because, you know, you have 125,000 in small accounts, FAs are reluctant to address it. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Look at all these people as individuals, not that I'm giving up. You know, if you've got somebody who's not doing much business, but there's another reason to keep them, then you may. But there's a lot of people doing $1,000 in business or less, and they'll never be more than that. You can't afford to spend time with those people. I mean, the time's got to come from somewhere. You can work longer hours. And I don't. That's hardly ever the answer to anything. Agree?
Right.
All
yep.
Right, let's look at get your manual out. I got mine on the screen. Go to page 20.
Okay.
I got to get in front of me. Bear with me just a second. Okay, that's your assignment for week one. Week one, So it's assigned to you in week one. This is week one, but it's the homework for week for the following week. Got it?
Yep.
Okay. So let's. I'm not going to do this every week, but I'm first one or two. I'm doing just to get in the habit. Number one, research your client list against your minimum and personal screens. In Rob's book, he talks about George Kemp, who put down 10 or 11 things that were important to him in a client, and he saw how many people fit through that filter. He went from like a couple hundred accounts down to 39, if I remember correctly. So I want you to go through that list and determine who you're going to keep and who you're going to not keep. And we'll talk about what to do with those. Number two, I think everybody's on board with that. For clients that don't fit your practice, do you have a place to send those people at Stiefel?
Yeah, there's a couple advisors in Dayton, which is 45 minutes up the road, that could possibly take them.
Perfect. Practice the scripts on retention and segmentation. We'll do that next week. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about number five. I don't think you all need an intern. I think you've got the power there to get it done within the team. And then a couple of websites to look at. So we're probably, because we're starting over again, we're not going to go exactly by the book, but anything I say we skip, we will come back and get. I try to tailor this for each individual team, so don't worry that we're skipping something. We'll come back to it. I'll assure you of that. So your homework, your homework is to the number one piece of homework is to go through your practice and see if you can get to 180 households. See what that would cost. Make sure you take out the butlers. A rough rule of thumb on butlers is 10%. If you have more than 10% of your butlers, you got work to do. And think about this. A butler gets a different level of service. Rob Knapp suggests four calls a year with one portfolio review. I suggest two calls a year with one portfolio review. Because I don't think somebody is a butler. I think two times a year is pretty good service.
I'd agree with that.
But six butlers take up the same amount of time as one Supernova client. So that's the number one thing is to come back to me, and I'll, Rob, we could get down to 180. This is what it would look like. We could get to 190. Okay. 90, this is what it looked like. To have 50% of our business, it takes 40 clients. The next 10% takes us up to 50 clients. I just want you to really do some work. The number one reason that people don't get out of Supernova, what they want and what we want, is they don't get their book, they don't get the practice segmented, and they still got too much to say grace over. So this is as important as it gets, getting this right. Anything else?
That was good. Thanks for going over this time.
All right. You all have my phone number, don't you?
Yeah, we all got it.
Yeah, and I said this to you last time. If you get in the ditch, call me. I can get you out of the ditch quicker than you can get yourself out. If you have a question that's holding you up, just pick up the phone and call me. If I don't pick it up, it means I'm doing something else, and I will call you back.
That sounds great. Thank you.
Thanks, all right. Talk to you next week.
Have a good week. Talk to you next week. Bye.